The passage of Scripture that I read for our Scripture reading tonight is a passage of Scripture that I use many times, in fact, most of the times at the funeral services I do. It says, "We shall not all sleep." In other words, we shall not all die. Of course, when Paul wrote this, he was expecting, as did the disciples, that Jesus would come back in his day. And so he said, we're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. But he says, we'll all be changed. And I've seen that as a motto over the door of several nurseries. We shall all be changed. But it's not talking about that kind of changing. It's talking about the changing that the passage talks about in a verse or two. The trumpet shall sound, and then the dead shall be raised. And again, the dead are raised first, as it tells us over in the book of Thessalonians, because they have 6 feet further to go than we which are alive, okay? But then we that are alive shall be changed. And what change is going to happen? Well, it tells us in the next verse, the corruptible will put on incorruption. In other words, that which can rot and spoil will put on that which cannot rot or spoil. The mortal shall put on immortality. In other words, that which can die will put on that which cannot die. Will put on that immortality. And when this happens, then the scripture that's recorded in Isaiah chapter 25 verse 8 is going to be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. And causes the writer of the book, the Apostle Paul, to, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to ask a couple of questions. O death, where is thy sting? You're going to lose it. At this day, when death is swallowed up in victory, the sting of death is going to be eliminated. O grave, or that's another word for Hades, O hell, where is thy victory? You're going to lose it. You will not have victory on this day. And as a result of all that, the writer says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. First brings comfort to those that have lost a loved one. Because we're reminded that for a Christian, death it is not the end. Death doesn't issue that person into hell, but death issues that person into heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. A person that dies in Christ does not, I mean, their body spends time in the grave, but they go immediately to be with Jesus. And then when that trumpet sounds on what we call that event called the rapture, those bodies are going to rise up out of the grave to meet their spirits who come back with the Lord. Then we which are alive are going to be changed and we'll all rise to meet the Lord in the air. In another place it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then what I want to draw your attention to tonight is verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren. Therefore is a word that's used that points to something that has just happened or just been said. That basically the word means that because of all that has just been said or because all that has just happened, then this is what needs to happen next. Therefore, because death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, because corruption shall put on incorruption. Therefore, because mortality shall put on immortality. Therefore, because the dead shall rise. Therefore, because the living shall be changed. Because of all of that, it says, and again it says, my beloved brethren, so it's talking to Christians, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And here's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. And if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, hear this. Whatever you do for the Lord makes a difference. Whatever you do for Him, doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. Doesn't matter if you're just talking to one people or if you're talking to 100. Doesn't matter if you feel that you've made a difference or if you walk away from the encounter or the experience thinking you've made no difference at all. Everything we do makes a difference when we are abounding in the work of the Lord. Everything. Let me say it again. When we are doing what God wants us to do, and we are being steadfast, unmovable, and we'll talk about those words in just a minute, but when we are being steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, everything we do, this verse says, is not in vain. It makes a difference. And again, I've walked away from a lot of encounters where I've tried to witness for Christ, thinking, boy, I had no effect. I mean, I didn't reach that person. The Holy Spirit didn't reach that person. He or she's in the same condition then when we encountered them. And I need to remind myself, and I'm preaching to myself tonight as I preach to you, that regardless of what we do, regardless of how we feel when we walk away from that one that we've tried to witness to for Christ, it is not in vain. As Angie testified a few moments ago, we're planting a seed. We don't know what's going to happen after that seed has time to sprout and to grow. And so it makes a difference. It makes a difference between life and death. It makes a difference between heaven and hell. It makes a difference between being saved and being lost. And every Christian, because one day, whether we're in the grave or whether we're still alive, one day the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be changed. One day that's going to happen. And so the verse says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. In other words, be fixed. Be unchangeable. Be steady. Be constant. Be unmovable, incapable of being moved. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, keep at it. Don't quit. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And again, because we know that our labor is not in vain. And I want to tell you tonight, the world is looking for servants of Christ that are doing just that. They are looking for people that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. They are not looking at servants of Jesus Christ that fluctuate. They are not looking for servants of Jesus Christ that move from one doctrine or from one point to another. They are looking for people that, just like this verse said, and this is the kind of Christians that make a difference, that are steadfast, that don't move, that are constant. They're the same all the time. That are unmovable, that again are not blown about with every wind of doctrine, but know what they believe and are ready to tell people what they believe, and that are always abounding in the work of the Lord. So tonight I have a simple message. 3 points. I'm going to tell you how to be steadfast. I'm going to tell you how to be unmovable. I'm going to tell you how to always abound in the work of the Lord, and I'm going to use 3 familiar hymns to do it, and Jameson and Nick are going to help me illustrate it tonight, hopefully to make a point in your heart and in your mind that when you think back and you run across this verse, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, you'll think about the things that the Holy Spirit says to you tonight and say, hey, I know how to do that. Number one, how do we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Number one, we place our hand in the nail-scarred hand. Okay, you two guys, come on up here. All right? Just stand right here. And Jameson, don't fall off the platform, okay, bud? Just come here. All right? All right, turn around. All right, no, just like this. All right? Put your hand in your dad's hands. Okay? Now just stand just like that. Hang on to him. Okay? The nail-scarred hand belongs to Jesus. His hands were scarred when we drove nails through them on the cross of Calvary. You say, preacher, I didn't drive any nails. Our sin drove the nails through his hands. He went to that cross to pay for our sins. He became us. He became our substitute. On Calvary, he took all of my sins, which were many, and he took all of your sins, which were many, and he paid the penalty for every single one that you and I owed. Every sin. He said, "Preacher, I haven't committed some of my sins." And I'll remind you tonight that every sin that you committed was after Jesus died on the cross. Every single one occurred after that fact of him dying on Calvary. And so he died for every one of our sins before we committed the first one. Isaiah 53 verse 5 said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The only way that we can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord is to have a personal relationship with God that cannot be shaken, that cannot be taken away. And the only way that we can have that relationship is to come and put our hands in the nail-scarred hands, come to Christ and be saved. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ." This song says, "Have you failed in the plan of your storm-tossed life?" Hey, you two guys, behave. I'm trying to be serious here. Have you failed in the plan of your storm-tossed life? And if we're honest with ourselves, before we got saved, we had failed in the plan of our storm-tossed life. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, if you're honest, you are failing in the plan of your storm-tossed life. It says, "Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand." Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. What I'm saying tonight when I say that is, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you need to trust Jesus. He's the only hope that you have for heaven. He's the only hope to take care of your sins. The only hope to make you right with the Father. And until you do that, Jameson's picture for us tonight. Nick represents Christ. Jameson represents all of us. He's got his hands in the nail-scarred hands because he's asked Jesus to save him. And we have no hope of being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord until we come and do the same thing and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. You want to be steadfast? You want to be unmovable? You want to always abound in the work of the Lord? Then you need to get saved. And you do that by asking Christ to save you. Putting your life in His, your hand in His. Number two, if we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then we need to stand on the solid rock. You don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read a few verses toward the end of that chapter, verses 24 through 27. And Jesus is talking. This is the part of the Sermon on the Mount, at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You want to be steadfast? You want to be unmovable? Always want to abound in the work of the Lord? You need to place your hand in the nail-scarred hand and then stand upon the solid rock. Okay, Jameson, kick your flip-flops off. stand on your dad's feet. Okay? Hang on to his hands. Okay? In fact, just sort of lean back a little bit. Keep your feet on his feet. Okay? You're standing on a solid rock now. Just sort of lean back a little bit. Okay? Just like that. Okay. Okay? You okay? You okay?
I can't believe you don't trust me.
Trust him. Just trust him. This verse says that we need to build our life on the sayings of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. The rains will come and the winds will blow, but that house will stand because it's built upon a rock. You say, well, preacher, I wasn't there when Jesus walked the face of the earth. I don't know what he said. And I would remind you tonight, yes, you do, because what he said, at least the part that he wanted us to have, is in this book. Book of John says there were many other things that Jesus did that if they wrote them all down, the books of the world couldn't contain them. But the things that he wanted us to have, the things that he did, the things that he said that he wanted us to know that he said, are recorded in this book. And wise is the man that hears what Jesus says and builds his life on what Jesus says in this book. Jameson is a little guy that likes to sing the song, the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. And just like salvation is not Jesus and something else, salvation is not Jesus and baptism. Salvation is not Jesus and the Lord's Supper. Salvation is not Jesus and good works. Salvation is Jesus. Building our life on what he says is not building it on the Bible and some other book. It's not building it on the Bible and something that we read in another book or something our mom and dad told us. Now, if our mom and dad tell us things that come out of the Bible, that's included. But it's not built on anything else that other than this book, because this book is the sayings of God, is the word that God wants us to have, is inspired, jot and tittle. Everything's in here because God wants it. And if we build our life on this book, we can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord because this book is unchanging. It says in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Shall stand forever. We don't need to be changing it. We don't need to be taking words out of it. We need to use it just like God gave it to us. And again, I don't have time to make my case tonight. I'll just tell you again, I believe in the King James 1611. I believe that this is not only the inspired word of God, but the preserved word of God given to us like he wants us to have it. I'm not going to change my Bible. I'm going to use the one my grandpa and my grandma used, the one I got saved from. I don't need somebody to change the these and the thous. I may not be smart, but I can understand what God's saying when he says these and thous. So if we want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then we are going to build our life on this book. It is a never-changing book. We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So, Jameson, you got your hands in nail-scarred hands. You are standing on the rock. There's one more thing you need to do. And Adam sang this song for our first song tonight. I didn't know what I was going to preach about. But that is, we need to lean on the everlasting arms. Okay, that's it. All right. So you got your hands in the nail-scarred hands. You are standing on the rock, and now you are leaning. You're sort of leaning on a belly, not the arms. But thanks. You're welcome. But there you go. Lean on those arms, bud. But we need to lean on those arms. Now, Jameson's in a good position. And again, if we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, this is where we need to be. Because I'll tell you, there'll be forces that come and try to shake him away from this position. Okay? Satan will come. The world will come. This is not funny. Satan will come. The world will come. And they'll try to shake him away from and get his hands out of the Lord's hands. Get his feet off the solid rock. Get him to lean in another direction. But if you're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, this position we need to get in and stay in. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I can't remember the next phrase, but let me get back up here so I can read my notes. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Okay, thank you. You guys can go back and sit down. Aren't you glad that we got a God? Amen. Listen, that is steadfast. Our God is a steadfast God. He's constant. He hasn't changed. It's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same, says in the book of Hebrews. He's steadfast. He is unmovable. Our God has not moved. World's changed a lot since the book of Genesis was written. But our God hadn't moved one bit. It says in the book of James, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's unmovable. And God is always abounding in his work. He is. He's always abounding in his work. I mean, from Genesis chapter 1 through Revelation chapter 22 through all of history past and all of the future, God abounds in his work. He wants us to be the same way. He says, one day we're going to change corruption for incorruption, corruption for incorruption. One day we're going to change mortality for immortality. Because of that, therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because everything we do for God makes a difference. Everything. Our labor is not in vain. You know, one of the most powerful weapons that Satan uses against Christians is discouragement. He comes to us and he says, hey, you're not making a difference. You might as well quit. This what you're doing for God doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And it's not making a difference at all in the lives of people. And I'll remind you, Satan is the father of all lies. And that lie is a lie straight from hell. Because everything we do for God is not in vain. It makes a difference. We may not see it. We may not know it's making a difference. But based on the promises of this book, I tell you tonight, it's not in vain. It makes a difference. Therefore, we need to be steadfast. We need to be unmovable. We need to always abound in the work of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this encouragement from your word. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to us. For those tonight who may feel a little discouraged, for those tonight who may think they're not making a difference, Father, remind us that nothing we do for you is in vain. That you will use the smallest act and you can multiply it in ways that we cannot understand. and use it for your glory to build your kingdom. I pray tonight, if there's just one person here that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, Father, help them to see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and the fact that Jesus paid the price. Help them come tonight, and we'll take the Bible, and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to us as Christians. Just do in our hearts tonight what you know needs to be done, and we'll give you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.